And now, it's the Florida Spectacular Podcast, hosted by Kathy Celestri. Find Kathy on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Celestri, CathySalustri, on Facebook at Celestri Kathy, and visit her website, greatfloridaroadtrip.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Good afternoon, good day, whatever time it is that you're listening. Welcome back to the Florida Spectacular. I'm Kathy Celestri, and my guest this week is Mary Zaralita. She's in St. Petersburg, and she is the director of a program called OLLI at Eckerd. And OLLI stands for Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and they are internationally placed. And Mary runs the Eckerd College campus. So Mary, to start, before we jump into all the Florida goodness, why don't you explain what OLLI is and who OLLI helps?
Well, first I just have to say thank you for pronouncing my last name correctly, Kathy. So the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, or OLLI, is based on 124 campuses across the United States. And so that is under the Bernard Osher Foundation, which is based out in California. And many of the OLLIs have an endowment to support programming for adult learners who are 50 years of age and older. So our OLLI, which, as they say, once you've been to one, you've been to one, they're all different, is based at Eckerd College in St. Petersburg, Florida. And pre-COVID, we were running anywhere between 400 to 600 programs, which ranged from single session lectures to multi-session courses, as well as special programs with the Metropolitan Opera HD, Bolshoi Ballet, and the National Theater.
And there is, of course, a Florida component, not for every OLLI. In fact, I think your OLLI, which is also my OLLI, because I do some work with Mary and OLLI, specifically about Florida, I think we're the only OLLI in the country that has a Florida Studies program. Is that correct?
Yes, that I am aware of. So we launched this in order to focus on the history, current events of Florida. I think we have a very rich cultural history here. And so working with you and others, we've developed a curriculum pre-COVID that's kind of morphed and evolved since we had to break from campus, but it's exciting. We have a book club. We were doing some excursions that would introduce our membership and lifelong learners to local areas, historical sites. And then of course the curriculum.
So we launched this program, I think 2 months before the entire world went into lockdown. And it's been really encouraging to see how many people still show up for the Zoom classes. Cause essentially that's all you're doing with OLLI right now, is classes via Zoom and very hesitant. Are you doing any dining or excursions or anything like that?
We're starting to introduce those back into our programming, maybe one or two a month, but very slow reentry. So yes, I mean, it seems like so long ago that
5 years ago
happened, but yeah, it was launched in October of 19, and we started off with a bus trip down to the Everglades. I think that was a 2-night stay. Down there. And then we were running ever since we had that January keynote speaker and reception book signing event. And 2 months later, we were shifting to an online Zoom format.
And we've been
there. Yeah.
Now, Dave Scheidecker has been a guest on this podcast. And the trip to the Everglades was actually to the Seminole Tribe of Florida. We had a tour there. We had some immersive experiences. And then, of course, we spent the night at the Hard Rock because it is owned and operated by the tribe. And Dave Scheidecker, if you heard him on this podcast, he also was one of our teachers for the winter term. He talked about Polly Parker specifically, who is kind of the mother of the modern day Seminole tribe. And there's all kinds of Florida things. I know I tend to be more a Florida history, but you focus on art and other things. Tell people what they should expect if they come to your Florida. If they come to Ali, what should they expect? You say over 50, and the closer I get to 50, that doesn't seem that old, but I feel like people have this impression of a bunch of people with pin curls sitting around in Frayn's fashion, knitting and sharing cookie recipes. And can you maybe talk about some of the Floridian members we have and their interests and where they've led the groups? I know we have diversity.
Yeah, we do. And some of them, I think, are more outgoing athletic than I am, you know, kayaking through mangroves and, you know, spending time walking through, you know, the forests of Florida. What is that one trip out to the Disney Preserve, spending the afternoon out there? Yeah, I didn't get to go on that one, but I know that there were some great shots of your finds on that hike. So there is a lot of outdoor experiences as well as the in-classroom experience with, as you said, Florida scholars. I'm trying to remember, we had John O. Miller telling us all about the cabbage palm. I will tell you, I'm a native Floridian. I know of swamp cabbage, but I have managed to avoid it.
Why do you have to hate on the swamp cabbage? What's wrong with that?
I don't, but I will tell you, I've just walked through too many forests and the pine forests of Florida. That's not for me. Maybe one day.
Yeah, it amazed me the more I started working with some of the excursions, the activity level, because when we first started scheduling excursions, the first thought was, well, you know, we want to be delicate. We don't know how much people can handle. And then I just remember in October going through a swamp boardwalk down in the Everglades, and the whole group was ahead of me. It is a very active way to engage with Florida. You are the one who came up with the idea of having a specialty program about Florida. Why did you think that was something that Ali needed? Why did you think that was important?
I think because we do have a lot of members who have moved to the area and they don't have that background, that understanding of our history, the culture, what is available. And I think this is a great way to introduce them and for them to meet other Northerners who've migrated down and perhaps those who are Floridians. It just is a great way to connect people to their new home. And I think, you know, trying to create that niche and that opportunity. And now that we're Zooming, I think we're able to hit a wider audience that might be even considering Florida. And sometimes, you know, on the news, Florida is not painted as the best state, at least politically. So this, I think, you know, educates those as to what we do have to offer.
So we talk about classes, and I don't want to give the wrong impression. I've been involved with Ali for so long, I forget that people don't realize what it means to be a participant in Ali. So maybe it would help to explain to our listeners what a class means for Ali, because I think some people might be picturing term papers or giant research projects, group projects.
Well, we can have those, but no, we don't. We make sure we tell our instructors, you are not to assign homework. This is not a credit-based program, and this is just for the joy of learning. I mean, how often you spend your life with your career, professional training, and now this, you're at that point where you get to find out what you're passionate about or revisit something that you had to push aside because of that career. And so this is that opportunity to open up. And if you see a title, see a subject area that maybe you weren't sure of before, you can sit in one class. So we have those one session classes for 90 minutes and see if that's something you want to pursue. And then we do have some follow-up programs or other courses that are offered in that category.
So I'm gonna switch gears. I think we've convinced people that you are at the helm of this Florida ship, steering them down the river of discovery. what's your favorite Florida place? Where do you go when you? I know you've got little kids, so you really can't take them to the depths of the rain of the Everglades or the forest. But where's your Florida place?
I push them. I make sure they're uncomfortable sometimes. So, I will have to say, so I did mention that I was born and raised in Florida. And I think, you know, beforehand, I thought I knew Florida. I've definitely worked in jobs where it's taken me to all 67 counties. I've seen South Florida and the differences with North Florida. But this program has like really pushed me to look at Florida in different ways. And I've been excited. So, you know, recently, 2 weeks ago, actually, I took my kids down to the Babcock Eco Tour and we just sat on the bus and that was a part of Florida that they hadn't seen. They're used to, you know, the well-manicured lawns and Disney, all those. And they enjoyed seeing the wildlife, all the alligators. So, to really answer your question, I'm probably more comfortable though with North Florida. I mean, I love the woods, Live Oak, Lake City. I just don't like driving I-10.
So you don't have to. You can drive 100 or 98, 90, 100 or 98. Those are all much better roads than I-10. The only thing you'll see from I-10 is the Dollar General headquarters, which is not my favorite thing to see. So when you talk about North Florida, I'm always fascinated by this because people don't realize Florida is not a tiny state. In my book, I made the point that you could go from Pensacola to Key West and it's roughly the same distance as Pensacola to Chicago. So keeping in mind that it's a big state, you don't always realize that maybe your idea and someone else's idea of what Northern Florida is not the same. So how do you define Northern Florida?
It is more small town. And less developed.
Where does it start for you?
Probably Citrus County, but even that's growing. I was just up in Brooksville on Saturday visiting my family, and they've finished the Suncoast, or they're expanding the expressway all the way up, I think, to 75, probably around the Wildwood exit, and it's starting. You can see all the development, the homes. But I would say Citrus on up.
Okay. You grew up in Hernando?
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
So it's for those of you playing the home game, we are in Pinellas County. That's St. Petersburg. And then north of Pinellas County is Pasco. North of that is Hernando. And north of that is Citrus.
Yes.
So I thought of you this weekend. We went kayaking on the Chassahowitzka. And we had to fight for parking and... You know, we were on the river and it was very, very crowded because, of course, it's a Sunday and it was a beautiful Sunday. And then we turned down Baird Creek and we were at some point the only people there. And it was really nice to be able to slip away from the music and cigarette on the John Boat crowd into a little scrap of wilderness. And the Chassahowitzka is the first river I ever kayaked on when I was a teenager. But I thought of you because I thought that was somewhere up by your home stomping grounds. Do you ever take the kids kayaking? Do you take them onto the Chass or?
Not kayaking. We've gone some canoeing, but my parents have. They've taken the kids on Wickiwatchee Spring River, of course, because of my parents' history there. But I haven't taken them recently, mainly in the Pinellas area.
That's right. Your parents' history at Wickiwatchee. Tell us about your mom.
My mom is a former mermaid. She graduated from high school and started there in, I think, 79, 80. Sorry, Mom, I'm aging you. And she was there through, she gave birth to three kids as a mermaid and then had the fourth afterwards. So, yep.
Did she swim while she was pregnant?
Up until almost the last point, yes, yes.
And they didn't think that was odd, a pregnant mermaid, because how do they get pregnant?
Well, she held her figure pretty nicely, so.
Good Lord.
So there was a point. I mean, she was there during that. So if I don't, I think she couldn't do the deep dive portion, of course, because that
was. Well, yeah. Yeah. It's not safe.
And they stopped doing that for a while. But she was part of those years that would go down to the spring and sit down there and hold their breath for so many minutes. So
did they really do that? I always thought that was a gimmick. I didn't know they really did it.
They didn't go as far as you probably thought they did, because the current was so powerful, she would say. They would have to go and sit under a ledge and really hold on to not be pushed up. But yes, they did hold their breath.
Wow. That's incredible. I should have had your mom on. This would be great. So yeah, your mom was a former mermaid, but she was a mermaid. They wore tails by the time she was a mermaid, right? Because they didn't start out wearing tails.
No.
And they don't make maternity tails, or they didn't in the 70s.
No. And I think the tops were a little stretchy, though. That was the poly, you know, the stretch Lyrica or Lycra. There you go.
So were you a spring baby in utero? Did she?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up thinking I wanted to be a mermaid for a while until I saw that tube that they had to go down into the spring, and just the idea of an underwater cave-like thing just stopped me. So
that tube, what Mary is referring to, they no longer have it, Mary. There used to be a 75-foot tube that the mermaids would use to enter the spring, and there would be an air hose at the beginning, an air hose halfway through, and an air hose at the end. And you went into that tube on one breath of water. And I mean, don't get stuck. It was scary for me too, but they don't do that anymore. I found that out last year. I was working on a story about one of the original mermaids, and I found out from the head of the park there, who's no longer there, Jonathan, that they removed the tube. I guess OSHA finally said, you know, not a great thing.
Well, I think it might be too late for me to try out now.
Well, they have mermaid camp every year. You can go back and you can do mermaid camp. You can send your kids to mermaid camp.
Yeah.
So yeah. And your dad worked at the park too. Do I remember that correctly?
No, actually it was his father. He was, I will probably misrepresent, but I know he was involved with the boats there. He was, I think at one point head of maintenance, but he definitely did work on the river cruise, for some time. In fact, they lived down the road from that area in the Wikiwatcha area.
God, so that's so cool. That is not why I asked you to be on the podcast. It had completely slipped my mind until you mentioned your kids on the Wikiwatchee River. Have the kids been to the show?
No, they haven't. I probably should take them. Yeah, I mean,
say grandma used to do this.
I really, you know, I loved that area growing up, because my grandmother, every summer, all of us kids would just hang out at their house, and they literally lived across the street from the river. So we'd all walk there, jump in, and spend our almost entire summer out on the river. And it was a great experience as a childhood. And yeah, I'd love to have that for the kids.
And you never got eaten by an alligator, not even once.
They were, as the parents always would tell you, they're more scared of you than you are of them. So,
well, I would imagine, I'm going to not date you too much, but I'm going to imagine you grew up in the 80s at some point. So it wasn't quite as busy up there as it is now. So they might have been a little more timid.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And there weren't as many people feeding them as that at that point. But I remember when I took a group of campers on Rainbow Springs, you know, they had never really been exposed to that on a river, and they would see alligators. And at one point I just couldn't tell them how close they were getting because of how scary it was, but they generally kept to themselves.
Well, I remember being on the Hillsborough River, and gators, by and large, I know they're there. I mean, as a teenager, our youth group used to go to the Rainbow River at least once a year, and we would tube down it. And as an adult, of course, I am horrified at this, because I now have a recognition of my own mortality. But I knew there were gators there, and I never really was bothered by it until I was kayaking on the Hillsborough once, and there was a gator on the bank. such that the banks are in the Hillsborough River because they're not very high. And he was watching me, sort of. And the next thing I know, he slipped into the water. And I could see the track where he was swimming somewhere near my kayak. And then he just disappeared. And I was like, you know, I'm really glad I'm in this kayak. I'm not comfortable with this. And, you know, but my dad grew up working in Pasco and Hernando County and Citrus. He worked for a company that installed sewer pipes, sanitary and storm sewer pipes, because that area wasn't built up. And he would always come home with stories about how there were a nest of rattlesnakes on the job site, or, you know, alligators. And I think it impressed upon me the exact opposite of what you had as a kid. I was not raised that they were more scared of me. I was raised that to a gator, I was a very tasty snack. So anyway, you like Northern Florida, and you live now in the Pinellas County area, but you still go back up there. I guess your parents live up there if they're taking your kids on the Weekiwatchee River. What do you think of the changes up there? I mean, what do you say to somebody who's new, right? Who's new to Florida, who comes down here and they show up at one of the Floridian classes and they talk about how crowded everything is? Because to me, it's tempting to go, well, it didn't used to be that way. But I mean, what do you think of the growth, and how do you explain that it's still a wonderful place to people?
Huh. Hmm. Oh. Well, the traffic is definitely increased.
Hadn't noticed.
The drive to work is getting longer. you know, I think that, you know, there are still some places that I would tell them to go, because there's still places that I think are still safe and preserved. You just have to be open to a little bit more of a drive now, I think. And, you know, I think we saw that when you and I took a group of Ollie members to St. Augustine last January. And we drove the two passenger vans, and we purposely got a little lost, or I took them on back roads, and just hearing, you know, some of the responses that they didn't think that this was still available in Florida. I think you just have to be willing to drive. Just get in the car and just take some wrong turns. At least that was always my philosophy with my grandmother. So, and you'll never know what you'll find. And it was always exciting.
That's true. I had forgotten about that, because again, January 2020 was 18 years ago. But it was only about a year ago we did drive. And I remember driving through the Ocala National Forest and getting lost. I don't think we were ever actually lost. I think we took a very roundabout way of getting places. It should not take 8 hours to get home from St. Augustine, but it was fun. And I do remember people seeing these parts of the state that they clearly didn't think existed anymore. And sometimes I think people tend to judge Florida by the part they've seen. I read this book once, was judging some kind of self-published fiction or nonfiction awards. And this woman made it her goal to visit all 50 states. And she wrote a short chapter about each state. And of course, me being who I am, I can't wait to get to the Florida chapter. And I got to the Florida chapter, and the woman talked about Florida because she was at a conference at Walt Disney World. She wrote a chapter about Florida and never left the property. And I was so mad. I threw the book. It did not receive a good grade from me in the judging. And I think that's a problem. I mean, on one hand, I like that Disney kind of consolidates all our visitors so they don't spread out to Wakulla Springs and only the really dedicated ones find their way to the Ocala National Forest. But I think people tend to see us as a caricature of a state because of it. And that's one of the things I like about what you're having all of us at Ollie do with the Floridian program, is you're having us show people the parts of the state that aren't the caricatures, taking the wrong turns, going through the backwoods. And you worked at a youth camp somewhere in the woods, didn't you?
Somewhere in the woods. It really, yeah. So I worked for the Florida Sheriff Youth Ranches straight out of college, and I was a summer camp counselor and then loved it so much that I stayed on for another year and a half. And I first worked at the Carruth Camp, which is in Inglis. So that's in Citrus County, near the power plant, the Duke Energy plant, and Yankeetown, where Elvis filmed his film. And then
just follow that dream.
Yes, follow that dream. You can all find that street in Citrus on US 19. And then I moved over to Barberville. And so when we went to St. Augustine on that trip, I took everyone through that one light town where the other camp for youth ranches was. So, yeah.
I wish sometimes there was a youth ranch for adults that we could take a bunch of Floridians into the woods and give them the Florida wilderness experience. And what would you, if we had this metaphorical or hypothetical camp that was a metaphor for all of Florida, right? We're taking them to one spot and we're showing them this and it's supposed to help them with Florida. What experience would you include for adults that like what you had with the youth camp? How would you translate that for adults? How would you tell adult Floridians to immerse themselves in Florida wilderness?
Well, how rough do you want to go?
Well, let's do three experiences, one middle of the road, one rough, and one pretty easy going.
Well, I mean, of course you have to canoe. I mean, on a river. I mean, and I'm not talking about like within a city limit. I'm thinking like some parts of the Suwannee, the Itchinatuckney is still, I mean, I know it's got a lot of tubers on it. But it has to involve a river canoe trip.
Okay, fair. Is that the middle of the road one or is that the easy one?
Well, I think it depends on what river you're going on. Let's say middle.
Okay, middle of the road. That's fine. Kayak or canoe, a Florida river, not an urban river.
Yeah, okay. I think the rough one for most would be, and I won't name the park because I've camped there and I get it. It's Florida woods because there's lots of red bugs and ticks, and it would be a camping trip at one of those kind of rural areas where there's not a lot of electric amenities and bug spray.
I think we call that primitive. And let me say that the ticks are only a problem in your North Florida.
Yes, I know.
I remember being at a state park in a cabin with a friend of mine, and to this day we refer to it as Tick Springs State Park because it was she came back from a walk covered in ticks. My dog actually had to be treated for like Lyme disease because she got it was ticks are not my. I will take a rattlesnake to a tick any day. I don't like ticks. Okay. Hardcore primitive camping, no facilities, pee in the woods, don't shower, fight the ticks.
Yeah. When I was a kid, my dad took us all to an island off of Hernando County on his airboat. We all camped there. We didn't watch for the tide, what time the tide was coming in and out. So we all camped in a two-man tent. And at that time, there was five of us in a two-man tent. And because the tide had gone out so much, we couldn't get the boat. We had fish. We caught our breakfast in the water and we had fish sandwiches for breakfast. So there you go. There's another rough one.
That sounds pretty great, actually. And now your easygoing one, the one that anybody can do. What's your third experience?
Disney Wilderness Resort and Lodge.
Oh my God. You know, I love Disney. You know, I do.
I do but, too. I mean, it's great.
Actually, we camped at the Disney Wilderness Resort, Fort Wilderness, not mm-hmm. Disney Wilderness
there
Resort.
There you go. Yeah, Fort Wilderness. Fort, yeah.
We camped at Fort Wilderness and we were not in one of the cabins. We were in a camper and I would take a walk around the campsite loop every morning and then every night. It was really cool because we had wild turkey walking through the park and you realize you're actually on the edge of the Everglades there. And right off the pavement in that area, there's cypress, there's swamp. It's beautiful. But it's a little misleading if you think you're at Disney and it's safe and sanitized. And then, you know, big old turkeys come strolling through your park. So.
And I think if we're going to say local, Fort DeSoto. That's another one, a great experience on to camp on the water.
Fort DeSoto is a wonderful place to camp. It's a wonderful place to do anything, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a gem of a park in Pinellas County, but I'm with you. All right. Well, those are your three, you know, canoe, camp, and Disney. That's okay.
As you can tell, I'm more of an outdoor person. I like the...
No, so am I. That's I have yet to have a city dweller show up on this podcast and talk about all the great shopping you can do in Miami, although maybe I should. I really appreciate having you, true Floridian, descended from mermaids, on the podcast talking about your Floridian program at Eckerd College. And if you're interested in that and you're listening, check the show notes. It's eckerd.edu/OLLI. But we'll include that in the show notes, of course. And is there, I can't remember, do you still do a guest pass or any passes for people if they want to try a class?
So right now we have the all access pass. So for one price, you can attend all Ollie online classes while we're still online for one price. And that information is available at our website. And you can, if you want to, contact our registrar, and you can take one class if you'd like to test it out at the member rate. That's correct.
And what class would you suggest they test if they're going to test it out this spring? What would be a good Florida class that's coming up in the, say, next 2 months?
Next 2 months. Well, I was just reviewing some of those this morning. I think I'm excited to hear from Lynn Whitelaw on the architecture of Florida. So the former director of the Lipa Ratner, so the art museum in North Pinellas. So I think that'll be exciting because, of course, we have some great architects that have built in the state. So
perfect. Well, we will include a link to Eckerd, Ollie at Eckerd, and the information about the Floridian program, Be Floridian, Explore Florida program there. And also remind people they can get a guest pass if they want to be a part of, if they want to test drive one of the classes. Thank you for being with us, Mary. It's always, always a pleasure to talk to you, even when I do forget that you are the daughter of a mermaid. Sorry about that. We should have led with that, really. And those of you who are listening, please join us again next week. We're going to be talking to Scott Deitch about the Tampa Mafia. So get a little bit of whiplash there. We're going to go from being floating down a wonderful, peaceful river and talking about mermaids to all the gory inside details about the Ybor City Mafias.